Hi, this is Kirsty Allsop.
And I'm Dr. Sam Godfrey. This is Stand Up To Cancer, the podcast. One in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer. And that's why it's important that we all understand the science of cancer. As they say of all great battles, you must know your enemy before you can defeat them. And that's the aim of this series. To arm and educate us all about the realities of living with and fighting cancer. In this episode, we're looking at the amazing science behind cancer research.
They're actually emitting sound as well. They emit very loudly. So we can listen to those emissions, and from those we can analyse them and actually get a pretty good idea of what the bubbles are doing.
This is Stand Up To Cancer, the podcast. So we're on the second official Stand Up To Cancer podcast already.
It's a whole new world for the campaign, and for you too, Sam.
It is. I'm part of Stand Up To Cancer's science team, so I'm not normally allowed behind a microphone. I've been working with Channel 4 on the live show, which is on October the 21st, helping the writers and presenters to really understand some of the sometimes complex science that's being undertaken in the Cancer Research UK projects we're funding.
And the science is what we're looking at in this series.
Yeah, we've spoken to the lead researchers behind some of the cutting-edge work that we're funding to explain how what they're doing can actually save lives. We're taking on cancer in all kinds of ways, so I want to start today with not a medical doctor, but an engineer.
My name's Eleanor Stride. I'm a professor of engineering science at the University of Oxford.
I caught up with Eleanor over Skype from her lab in Oxford.
Well, I've put a notice on my door, so hopefully no one's going to walk in.
And Eleanor's lab is where they make bubbles.
Yes, we do. Well, the number of bubble toys we've got around the lab is actually quite embarrassing.
But the reason they could make them, with Stand Up To Cancer support, could revolutionise chemotherapy.
Our aim is to try to find a method for treating tumours that minimises side effects, and hopefully in such a way that we can get complete penetration of a drug so that we can actually achieve a cure rather than simply a treatment. What we don't want to do is just increase survival by 6 months. We want to have a much more meaningful effect on patient survival.
Bubbles are amazing. They've been used to break up oil spills. Miners float underwater minerals to the surface with them. Physicists have used them to study black holes. And Eleanor is using them to target cancer.
In conventional chemotherapy, you give a drug either in the form of a pill or normally through a drip. So it goes into the bloodstream and the drug goes absolutely everywhere. That means that all of your tissues are exposed to it. And that tends to be the reason why chemotherapy is associated with some extremely unpleasant side effects. What we're trying to do is limit where the drug is released and maximise the amount that actually gets into the tumour.
Using bubbles?
Yeah, exactly. Let's find out how these are actually made.
The way we make bubbles is actually to use a microscopic version of something that everyone's used as a child, and that's to use a bubble wand. We need to blow bubbles one by one. Doing that at the microscopic scale means we're using a technology known as microfluidics. All that means is we're pumping very, very tiny amounts of liquid through a device. So we are literally blowing these bubbles one by one. What that means, though, is that we can get perfect bubbles that are all exactly the same size, containing exactly the same amount of drug, and we can produce them continuously.
So these are the same as the bubbles my children play with in the garden?
Pretty much exactly the same, but so tiny they can slip through the smallest blood vessel, about 50 times smaller than a human hair.
So if you do look at them under a microscope, they look like beautiful little spheres. They really are gorgeous, and they look like soap bubbles because to all intents and purposes, that's exactly what they are. If you can zoom in more closely using a different type of microscope, then you can actually look at the structure in more detail, and then we can see where we've incorporated the drugs.
These are the chemotherapy drugs.
Yeah, they are.
We've got lots of different ways of getting drugs into a bubble or onto a bubble. We can encapsulate the drug first into little particles that we then stick onto the bubble surface. That's very useful because when we excite the bubbles with ultrasound, they get fired off, and hopefully that helps with tumour penetration. We can also incorporate the drugs directly into the bubble coating, so into the shell. We have a sort of mosaic of our coating material with a drug distributed within that. Then we have to completely destroy the bubble in order to deliver that drug.
And when the bubbles are over a tumour, Eleanor can use magnets to keep them in a kind of holding pen. And then ultrasound is fired at them to make these bubbles expand and contract, driving the chemotherapy drugs deep into the heart of the tumour.
This is incredible. But how do they know when the bubbles are in the right place?
Well, they can use the same ultrasound to actually monitor the entire process. They can know exactly where they are, and they can also even hear them.
Good way of demonstrating the sound that bubbles make. This is a first-year experiment that anyone doing acoustics will see. If you're pouring water and you just do one drop into a glass of water, you hear that little plink. That plink is when the drop of water is going in and it's pulling air in with it. That produces a little bubble. That bubble then oscillates, and that's what's producing the ping. If you have loads and loads of bubbles all oscillating together, you get a shh sound, which is white noise.
That's what makes the sound of waves. Millions and millions of bubbles just popping and exploding, but on a microscopic scale. And you can actually still hear them with a special microphone.
When they're oscillating, when they're pulsing in the ultrasound field, they're actually emitting sound as well. They emit very loudly. So we can listen to those emissions, and from those we can analyse them and actually get a pretty good idea of what the bubbles are doing.
To make this project even cooler, Eleanor and her colleagues plan to insert special cancer-seeking molecules into the bubbles. And these will be able to act a bit like cancer-seeking missiles, finding and sticking to the tumour. And that way, the chemo will hit the cancer exactly where it's needed, and hopefully spare the good stuff that surrounds it.
Sam, I have seen people have all sorts of side effects from chemotherapy, from sores on their face and in their mouth to pain in their nerve endings in their fingers. We all know about the loss of hair, which sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. Why is chemotherapy such a tough treatment?
I think the first thing to say is chemo, it does work. We see more people now survive cancer than die from it, which is fantastic. But just because it works, it's a bit of a blunt instrument, I suppose. So chemotherapy is, I suppose if you boil it down, a poison that you give to the whole body. And cancer cells aren't quite as good as the rest of our cells at repairing themselves, so they die a bit faster. The problem is other cells in our body also get hit by it. So your hair cells grow really, really quickly all the time. Of course they do. If you imagine how much hair we're growing, they're growing really, really fast. So the chemotherapy also hits those fast-growing cells. It hurts your liver. It can hurt your sex organs. It can hurt an awful lot of you. And the downside of this means that whilst it is taking out the cancer, it's also hurting people. This is often why younger people tend to fare better with chemotherapy, because their bodies can take more damage. They can take a higher dose than someone who's older.
But it is fear of chemotherapy that stops a lot of people acknowledging to themselves or the doctor that they suspect they might have cancer. So what would you say to someone who thinks, oh, I think there's something wrong, but oh, chemotherapy sounds vile?
I mean, the first thing I'd say is that we don't just use chemotherapy. I mean, the best way of beating cancer to this day is still surgery. If you can cut out all of a tumour, that cancer's gone. It can't come back. Radiotherapy is incredible now. It's precision. It can wrap around tumours. It's very, very different to what it was. And actually, chemotherapy is also very different from what it was. We've got hundreds of different chemotherapeutic drugs. We're getting better at knowing the right amount of doses, the right combinations to use. We can manage a lot of the symptoms. So the days of sitting in the ward, vomiting continuously while you had your chemo, they are going. And then on top of that, we're now beginning to see these really smart therapies coming through that complement chemotherapy. These are things that maybe waken the immune system to attack cancer. Maybe they're things which knock out key molecules inside the cancer, sort of like a bit like jamming a cog in a clock so the clock stops ticking. The whole spectrum of medicine is advancing, and so I think what a lot of people have got is they kind of think of this bleak viewpoint of what it was like perhaps 10, 15 years ago, where actually today it's still not necessarily pleasant, but today is a lot better than it was.
A woman called Alice Roythorn, who lives in South Wales, wanted to tell her story. She's had cancer not once, but twice.
Hi, I'm Alice and I work for Cardiff Metropolitan University. So I was first diagnosed with cancer when I was 27.
Which is unusual.
And to complicate things.
And the same week that I got my biopsy results, I found out that I was pregnant. And I also found out that I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, so that was quite the week for me.
Now, because she was pregnant, Alice began her treatment with a course of radiotherapy to keep the cancer at bay.
And then when my daughter was born, 6 weeks after that, I started chemotherapy. So that was quite a challenge in itself, you know, new to motherhood and then off to hospital for chemotherapy and all that entailed.
So at 27 years old, Alice was a new mother and a chemotherapy patient.
I obviously had no idea what to expect. Extreme tiredness, obviously very susceptible to infection. So even when I finished my treatment at Christmas and I thought, that's it, I'm all done, I was extremely poorly, had a very bad infection and ended up in hospital for quite a little while. And yeah, that was quite a scary time, actually.
How was her baby through all of this?
Well, Alice had a daughter called Macy. She was perfectly healthy. Alice's treatment lasted 4 months. She was giving the all clear and
everything was fine for almost 10 years, just heading towards the 10-year all clear mark. And then, unfortunately, I had a second cancer diagnosis of Ewing sarcoma, which just totally, well, threw our lives upside down.
This is a really rare example. Cancer usually affects people who are much older than Alice. 70 is about the average age to get cancer. And it's also extremely rare for adults to be diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. It's a bone and soft tissue cancer that we normally only see in children.
They found the tumour in her womb, which meant a hysterectomy and another course of chemotherapy. This time, 14 treatment cycles over 10 months.
I mean, this was totally different in that the first time I would just go in for a few hours and then come home. This time I would go in and I could be there for 5 days, depending on how I took it, how I reacted to it.
The side effects this time were also worse.
I suffered really badly with mouth ulcers, not being able to eat, couldn't drink, very, very difficult, very painful, very, very tired, very sick. Lots of different things at different stages, and I think it had a cumulative effect.
Alice also lost all of her hair, something that hadn't happened the first time. But there was another difference. Alice's daughter, Macy, she was no longer a newborn, now 10 years old.
She was absolutely brilliant. I don't know how much she understood to start with, but she helped out so much. She grew up quite a lot, quite quickly. She would do the washing, she would help cook dinner, she would bring me things, cups of tea in bed, and I wanted to try and do as much with her as I could. I wasn't able to work this time with my second diagnosis. I was off work for a year. So on the good weeks that I had, I really tried to do things with her and spend time with her, because in the back of my mind, I didn't know what the future held either. So it was really important to try and do nice things and, you know, family things and make nice memories.
I wonder how Alice is feeling now.
How am I? I'm really well, thank you. Yeah, I'm nearly 2.5 years clear. I do a lot of running. I did the London Marathon for cancer research a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Chemotherapy is difficult, but that's why Stand Up To Cancer have teamed up with the EPSRC to support Eleanor and her colleagues' important work. It's potentially chemotherapy with far fewer side effects, and maybe something a bit more.
So in particular, it's actually the drugs that aren't being used that we think we might be able to deliver. There are many amazing drugs that have been developed, and they simply can't be used because they're too toxic.
Is this ready to be used in hospitals yet?
Not yet. Right now, this is all taking place in these little plastic dishes called Petri dishes, and they're growing synthetic tissue.
It looks like a little glob of pink jelly. It's a slightly weird, and a few people in the lab think that's disgusting. But we think it's absolutely amazing.
And it is. Stand Up To Cancer is funding this research project.
It's a concerted effort to get everyone together, and that's not just scientists, not just engineers, but also clinicians, patients, to try and work together. Because I think, as this project and many others are demonstrating, if we do bring people together with complementary expertise, we can make progress. I think having a campaign like Stand Up To Cancer gives us something to enable that, which is absolutely fantastic.
There is so much being done. You know, we're regularly hearing about breakthroughs and new developments and trials that have been conducted and been successful and become regular treatments. So I think it's very exciting. And I'm very proud to raise money for this charity that does so much to help people.
It's so exciting. Chemotherapy delivered through bubbles. Whatever will they think of next?
We're thinking of quite a few amazing things. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to take you through some of these extraordinary and unexpected and, yes, very exciting work that's underway right now as we stand up to cancer.
Next week on Stand Up To Cancer, the podcast,
we go behind the scenes of Hollyoaks to find out how they've tackled Jade and Alfie's heartbreaking teenage cancer storyline.
That connection that they've had from both having cancer is one that many of us have had ourselves, and comes back to that support mechanism.
For too long, cancer's been fighting dirty. It's been targeting grannies, going after kids, and coming back for the same people over and over again. even taking cheap shots at our breasts and testicles. It's got to the point where one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer, and that totally sucks.
Now is our time to act. To say, F that. Time to use whatever means necessary, no matter how ridiculous, to lay the smackdown on cancer.
To help fund the rebellion against cancer, text AUDIO to 70404 right now to give £5, plus one standard message rate. 16 plus only, and you must have the bill payer's permission. It closes 31st of March 2017, and full T's and C's are available at sutc.org.uk/terms. 100% of your donation will go to Cancer Research UK in support of the Stand Up To Cancer campaign. Stand Up To Cancer and Stand Up To Cancer brand marks are registered trademarks or trademarks of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Cancer Research UK is a registered charity in England and Wales, Scotland and the Isle of Man.
Stand Up To Cancer, the podcast, is an Audio Boom production produced by Karen Bevan and Jamie Wareham. Executive producers Dan Quick, Audio Boom's head of production David Marsland, and global head of content Ruth Fitzsimons.